I'm available to start at right tackle.
You can't see when I have clothes on.
Right. Well, there's not an even playing field. There's never been an even playing field. There never will be an even playing field.
But... What shampoo do you use on your hair?
You don't need to be Superman to play in this offense.
You're listening to The Red Zone.
Welcome, Badgers fans, to another episode of The Red Zone. Later on, we're going to talk to Badgers running back Jonathan Taylor, the Heisman candidate, kind of about his season, him still trying to improve in the pass game and kind of what's gone wrong with the offense so far. But first, we're going to talk to Jake Kokorowski of Bucky's Fifth Quarter. How you doing, Jake?
Doing well, man. Thanks for having me back on. Third time in a season. I feel honored, man. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. We love you here at the Red Zone, so hopefully this is a regular thing from now on. But, you know, we're at the point in the season here where, you know, there's not a whole lot left to play for, right? I mean, we got this Purdue and Minnesota game. Obviously, the Minnesota game is still going to be a lot to play for in that game with the Axe. This is kind of the first time in a while they've had. I actually looked back at this, and, you know, since the Big Ten championship game started in 2011, only two games, regular season games, Wisconsin's ever played in which they were eliminated going into the game from Big Ten West contention or the Big Ten or making the Big Ten title game. That was 2015 Minnesota, which they had the Axe on the line there. And the other one was the Penn State game in 2013, which they lost as 24-point favorites at Camp Randall. So this is a pretty rare thing in recent years for them to go into a game like this with not really a whole lot to play for. Do you think that, that affects this game against Purdue? Do you think that, you know, it's hard to gauge the team. They're going to tell you that they're focused and everything, but do you feel like they're still going to be motivated to go out there and put a good performance in and win this game?
I think the energy and the urgency may be different. And I think it's nothing. I mean, it's nothing against the players or whatnot too. But when you're technically out of the race to go to Indianapolis and that's one of your team goals. I mean, obviously they said bowl eligible is one of the things that they wanted to accomplish, but you know, they had sights on Indianapolis, on the Big Ten championship, and you know, who knows, you know, what if they're looking at the CFP, which I know a lot of people on the outside looking in were. But with this energy out and being out of contention to go to the Big Ten championship game, I think it does change. But I also know that the players, you know, this is the last time, you know, last two games, they're bowl eligible. At least three games that they'll play with this team and the bonds that they have, and you have three more games of Ryan Connolly and TJ Edwards and Dakota Dixon, the seniors, the offensive line, that and Michael Dieter and Bo Benchwell, and in particular too, or Alec Ingold. So they're going to try to obviously go out on a winning note now, and it's also going to be a big experience for players to, you know, younger players to just get more reps and to learn. But yeah, I think that there is a different energy now compared to where it was, even like where we were last season, where a lot was on the line. So it'll be interesting to see how they react and after a tough loss against Penn State, where I thought the defense played admirably. We'll see what they can do at Ross-Ade Stadium.
Yeah, I guess the way maybe I see it is that there's a difference between motivation and urgency. So yeah, they're going to be motivated to go out there and end the season right. And you know, finish 8-4, 9-4 if they win a bowl game, and they want to put their best showing out there, and like you said, do it for the seniors. But I think there has to be a little bit of a drop in urgency when that isn't on the line for them in the West. So it'll be interesting to see how they come out, because again, we haven't seen this Wisconsin team in this situation in quite a while. So yeah. I think it's going to be really interesting. But I guess looking back at the Penn State game real quick, I mean, their offensive struggles. I think a lot of people have been blaming, you know, the play calling from Paul Chryst a lot this season. They feel like it's too conservative, especially when Jack Cohn's in there. But do you feel like it's just a matter of he's doing what he feels like he is necessary with a backup quarterback in there to give them a chance, as far as, you know, that you don't want to put too much on Cohn's shoulders? It's sort of a delicate balance in my view, at least. That, you know, I mean, if you go out there and sling it with Cohn, I mean, it could turn out a lot more poorly than it did, and Wisconsin stayed in that game for a good while. And I know it's probably frustrating to watch an offense that is kind of limited and not passing the ball very much, but how do you kind of see the way they've approached their offense with Jack Cohn as quarterback?
Yeah, I think it, I mean, I know people talk about playing conservatively or whatnot, but the run game also gained 209 yards on the afternoon, so that was working, and it worked on the first three plays of the game, and especially with that 71-yard run with Jonathan Taylor, and even in the beginning, you know, that second drive before the fumbled exchange between Biotish and Cohn, they were still driving, and in the third quarter too, they when he got the field goal out of there, they also, you know, utilized it well. So I think it's also a matter of, okay, if you're going to pass 30 to 40 times and you're only going to get 150 yards, 200 yards on average, 5 yards of completion or an attempt, too, like people are like, oh, well, they're not being efficient there, and why aren't they running with their Heisman caliber back? So yeah. It's a dual sword. It's a catch-22 where you have a rushing attack that obviously is one of the best in the nation, and I'm going into the game, it's sixth in the nation with almost 266 yards per game. What's working now. Is it going to be predictable where, you know, they stack, the defense stacks 8 or 9 guys in the box? Yeah, but that's when Wisconsin needs to, you know, Cone maybe, you know, if play action does work, they need to get the rhythm going. I mean, they're 4-15 on third down against Penn State. They had the 4 turnovers, and you're never going to win when you turn the ball over that much in an environment like Happy Valley. So, but I mean, with the play calling, I think it's also just a matter of you want the players to be confident in what they're calling, and you want to overextend too much. And each week they have different game plans too, so it really depends upon the personnel that you see. And Penn State, I mean, 5 sacks. People are complaining about the pass, you know, the passing game not getting on track. Well, if you can't protect your quarterback, they had 5 sacks, yeah, like, you know, against the offensive line. So how do you expect them to, you know, get a young quarterback who's only playing his 3rd really meaningful game of his career? He played in 6 last season, but I don't see how you can get him comfortable when you have a pass rush like that with Sharif Miller, among others, and Robert Windsor, a former Wisconsin native, coming in and causing havoc. So I think it's a catch-22 of you have to think what's successful, the running game was, but then you're also one-dimensional because the pass rush got through, and, you know, it depending on whose fault it is, and we don't know the calls. It's another thing. We don't know exactly what the calls are. I think it does, I mean, it seems that way from the outside looking in, but there's a lot more that goes into it.
Yeah, and, I wrote about that this week, the protection issues, and I think when you're in this situation with your backup quarterback and you know there's not a whole lot of margin for error and things are difficult on him, they really needed their best unit, their offensive line, to step up and have a big performance, and that didn't really happen. I think Cone needs all the help he can get, and I don't think he got much help in that Penn State game either. I think that made things look a lot worse than maybe it could have, like you said. And, you know, the offense has been predictable in some cases, but I also think that, you look at some of the situations. I mean, the end of the half, they tried the play action on third down, and they had maybe had Alec Ingold down the sideline, right, and he just underthrew it for an interception. Now, maybe that people would say that's not really the right time to, with 18 seconds left, to take that shot. But, you know, there was also another time late where, you know, I think maybe even Cone checked to a play, saw man coverage, and checked to threw a deep pass to, I think it might have been Danny Davis, but he was just way off. And I think part of it is just that, I think Chris understands his quarterback probably better than anybody, and I don't think he wants to put him in a situation where he's, you know, throwing a bunch on first and second down if it's going to lead to a lot of incompletions. And, you know, I mean, you could definitely debate that they should approach this differently, but, you know, this is the way it is, and I don't think it's I think you could argue that's the way they're doing it is still the best chance to allow them to hang around in the game. So it's I don't know, it's a tough one.
It is. I mean, and the Ingold pass, you know, from Cone to Ingold, I think he had him like a half second earlier. If he finds him a half second earlier, I think it's even a completion there, and it's just a matter of and that's nothing against Cone. I mean, we don't know exactly what it was, you know, the play call was, or he going through his reads and whatnot, but maybe if it's a half second earlier, maybe that is a completion and they're at midfield and in position to possibly, you know, have a chance to move with field goal range, within field goal range down the road. But it's a coulda, woulda, shoulda there. But no, I agree. It's the line, you know, with the pass protection was not there, and who knows what some of the calls were too, where some of the miscommunication or just the athleticism of Penn State. You have to give the Nittany Lions credit there because they led the conference in sacks heading into the game too.
And, you know, Alex Hornibrook was in pads and practicing on Tuesday, so it looks like, you know, he's still listed as questionable. But I think it's an encouraging sign that he was in practice on Tuesday. So we'll see what happens. I think regardless, he's probably going to be listed as questionable on Thursday. But yeah, I'd be interested to see if he can play this week. I actually think that could be a big factor in this game, whether he's able to go or not against Purdue. I think Purdue is down to a 4.5-point favorite now. But I think if Hornibrook plays, that definitely gives them a better chance. You think that's kind of – I mean, how much of an impact do you think that makes for Hornibrook to – if he can go versus not in this game?
I think it could be a huge tipping point. I think it's you've seen a Purdue team that's beaten the pants off of Ohio State, scoring 49 points, 530 some odd yards. You've seen them in really bad weather conditions against Minnesota, who just fired the defensive coordinator and gave up 41 points and only, you know, 10 points and 233 yards against the Gophers up in the Twin Cities this past weekend. So I think, and also with the uncertainty of Purdue, with the head coaching, and you don't know if that distraction of Jeff Brohm to potentially go into Louisville, which is, you know, back home, is going to be a distraction. You know, they may say they're focused. I think there are a couple areas like that off the field that could influence Purdue, but also Hornibrook, you've seen just, yeah, you're going to see some of the interceptions. You also saw interceptions from Cone, for that matter, you know, but it's there's a leadership component too with Hornibrook and having the, not saying Cone doesn't have leadership, but, you know, having the experience of leading an offense. You see the 2-minute drills that he's led in the past. You get what you get with Alex, where not a lot of mobility, but checking out of plays or just some intangibles that casual fans don't know about. I think the timing aspects of the receivers too, and the comfortability potentially. No matter how much they say they work with Cone, I think he will improve, and I think next year, you know, it'll be interesting to see what the quarterback race shapes up to be for 2019. But for right now, I still think Alex is the best option at quarterback. And again, that's nothing against Jack, but you have a redshirt junior that knows the offense, and if he can get on track and help with this offense, especially on third down. I mean, their four losses, I calculated, is 4-for-15, or they're 4-for-15 against Penn State. They're 14-for-51 in the four losses right now. And so that's a huge notion. And two of those games obviously were with Alex as quarterback. That's the BYU game and then also Michigan. But, you know, I think he's the best chance to help move the ball and get into a little bit more of a rhythm. I think Jack's could have a really great career still at Wisconsin too. He's still learning, though. Like, again, he hasn't had a handful of meaningful games as a quarterback yet. Outside of the three this year, and like I said, six last year were mop up time.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I think maybe this last game against Penn State maybe I possibly gave some Wisconsin fans a little more appreciation for Hornibrook. Now, I mean, obviously you'd like Hornibrook to be more consistent than he has been, right, especially this season. He's definitely been up and down, to say the least, but I definitely think he gives them a much better chance than Cone does in this spot against Purdue team that might score some points against this Wisconsin defense, which, I mean, I'm really interested to see how this defense plays against this test, you know, a heavy passing offense. And this secondary has started to play, you know, they're still young. They've started to play really well, though. I think for the last 5 weeks, they've held opponents under 170 yards passing, including last week against Penn State, and I think they've really started to come into their own since that Nebraska game where they gave up 400 passing yards. You know, how do you think this defense will fare against this Purdue offense? Obviously, like you said, it's been a Purdue offense that has had really high moments, and then, you know, you look at the Minnesota last week and say, well, you know, what happened there? But do you think this defense can kind of keep up their run good play, especially in the secondary?
I think they can. Like, I did a Q&A with our SB Nation site that covers Purdue, and I praised a young secondary that a lot of interchangeable parts because they've needed to, because it's been baptism by fire for that group. But you've seen the talent and the depth back there, and the fact that it's a great coaching job by Jim Leonard and the staff there in terms of getting the secondary and those moving parts ready. I think Rondell Moore is a extremely special player, 82 receptions, 900 yards receiving, and then also he's run for 150 some odd yards, around 15 yards per carry. So he's a very special type of player, and going up against, I think they'll be able to contain him. It's just, you heard Jim Leonard talk about, you know, with reporters just a bit ago before we started recording, that they like this, that Purdue likes to stretch it vertically, and I think that's going to be an interesting test. Where I don't really recall Wisconsin's secondary being tested too much since the Nebraska game, going deep, and so I think it'll be a huge test. I think it's going to be a good litmus test to see just how far they've progressed. I think they have a shot to do that. I'm more interested in like how they're also going to take care of DJ Knox in the run game. They gave up 183 yards on the ground to Penn State. Now Miles Sanders is a great back, had 159 of those, but I think that's going to be a huge key as well, where if you can keep Purdue through the air and they can contain Rondale Moore, they have a shot. But I think the secondary, I think they've stepped up a lot. I'm extremely high on Rashad Wild Goose. I know he had a pass interference against Penn State. I know he's maybe had a defensive penalty a couple of times in the past couple of games. But I really like him, the aggressiveness, and I like what I'm seeing out of Fayon Hicks, Caesar Williams as well. So it's going to be a huge test. I think they have the opportunity to. It's just they can't get beat deep, and they have to keep players within a particular zone and just contain them to just as minute gains as possible.
What's your ideal bowl location for this team? Where do you want to see them go?
Personally, I would have loved the Outback Bowl because I heard the spread. For fans that don't know the spread, I think at the Outback Bowl for media is delicious. However, I don't think that's going to be the case. New York would be nice. If it's a pinstripe bowl, New York is always great. And there's a bunch of Wisconsin alumni. I know that for a fact out in New York as well. But we'll see. I mean, where are you gauging?
I'm a bit cautious about it. I really want to go to a warm weather city. So New York, you know, New York could be cool, but it'd also be cool as in cold. Yeah. So, honestly, I was thinking about this the other day. The Outback, there is like an outside chance they could still reach the Outback. If they win the last two games, Michigan and Ohio State both are in the playoff / New Year's Six bowls.
Okay.
And then Penn State goes to the Citrus Bowl. There's a chance they could be, you know, tied at 8-4 with Michigan State, Iowa, Northwestern could have five losses, even though they won the West and they'll have gone to the Big Ten title game. You know, I mean, these bowls don't have to select the team that won the West over these other teams. So if the Outback Bowl thinks that Wisconsin is more appealing than Michigan State, Iowa, Northwestern, a couple of these teams, then who knows? Now, Wisconsin did go there, but it's been a few years now.
Don't they also
They went in 2014, so.
Isn't it South Florida, too? They play South Florida at South Florida.
To open next season,
next
season. So it could be two straight games in Tampa if they do get that. But I think that's still unlikely, obviously. Yeah. But I would like to see San Francisco, just the one city I haven't been to that they could go to. So I would like to see that. But.
No, I know. I'll take either destination. Hopefully I can get a cheap flight out there.
Yeah, but San Francisco might be tough, I guess, to get a cheap flight out. Maybe you're rooting for that.
Maybe going for New York, just because. Yeah, I would like to. I was out there once earlier this year for a work function outside of reporting, and I wouldn't mind exploring New York a little bit more, to be honest with you.
Well, thanks for joining me, Jake. You can follow him on Twitter at Jake Coco B5Q. Is that right?
You betcha.
That's with a K.
Yep, KOCO.
KOCO. Jake Coco B5Q. Read his stuff at Bucky's Fifth Quarter as well. You want to plug anything else?
No, we appreciate you, and always fun. And I know we got a lot of stuff coming up: basketball, football, recruiting, a lot of stuff going on. Check us out, and thanks again, Jason, for having me on.
All right, thanks, Jake.
Not much, man. Feeling good.
Yeah. Are you feeling good? I know you've had a lot of carries this year. You feeling like it's not too much at this point?
Yeah, I'm actually, I did a lot of work over the off season. Coming in freshman year, was able to get work in over the summer with the new college strength program. But, spending a full cycle with it, my body is feeling great. They prepare you very well for, the long haul. And I feel like, last year, body towards the end was a little bit going down. But, this year I feel great, just because I had that chance to go through the full preparation cycle.
So you feel better at this point this year than you did last year at this point?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. You feel like you started to wear down a little bit?
Yeah, towards the end, kind of does take a toll on you towards the end.
Yeah.
You try to do as much recovery as you can. And I didn't really know how much recovery, last year. But this year, I've been doing recovery after every game, constantly throughout the week. So just, them giving me more knowledge throughout this cycle, has been able me to, take care of my body that much better.
Yeah. How sort of frustrating has this year been for you? Individually, you're still putting up the same numbers as last year, if not a little bit better. But the offense just hasn't really clicked, and you haven't had the passing game to kind of complement what you've been doing on the ground. Has it been kind of frustrating that you're out there producing, but the offense hasn't really been as a whole?
Yeah, and one of the biggest things is maybe we have to run a little better. If we just run a little better, maybe they'll respect the run game a little more and open up the pass game anymore. So you just got to really figure out what is the the factor, because it's a team sport, so one thing can't get it done. So you try to see what are you doing in your job to help complement the other side, and also the defense has been playing very well, so we also got to do our part as an offense to complement the defense for getting the stops and the takeaways.
I think teams respect your run game. I don't think you have to worry about that.
Yeah, we also try. We always try to establish the run game, and that's one of the biggest things is just trying to establish that to help, you know, open up the pass game, and you know, whenever we complete a pass, we got to complement that again with another run. So we got to make sure we stay consistent every single game, every single play.
Yeah. What have you kind of thought about Jack's performance so far? I mean, obviously he's struggled in this last game, but you know, he's obviously thrown into the fire here in his first couple starts. Like, how have you kind of feel like he's responded to that?
I feel like he's responded very well. I mean, coming in, especially at the quarterback position, towards the end of the year, back end of the year, you know, teams have a lot of film, so you know, the game plans are different towards the end of the year because, you know, you've done so much throughout the year, so they have a lot to game plan off of. And I feel like, you know, just him having the experience he's had, he's actually holding up pretty well. He's not down on himself because, you know, we're trying to back him 100%, let him know that we're here. I mean, we know the situation. We know, like you said, he was thrown into a fire. I mean, it was kind of a situation that, you know, only, you know, few people actually take off with it. You know, it's a process, so we know we're just trying to help him through it because we know, you know, it's not easy.
Do you feel like do you fear that he's going to lack any confidence after that last game?
I don't think he's going to lack any confidence just because, you know, he did well all week. We felt confident in him, and, you know, when things don't go your way in the game, it's hard to, you know, not lose confidence, but you just have to continue to trust in the game plan the coaches put in and week out, because we know they put in a ton of time and, you know, study the opponent very well.
Yeah. I was looking back at your recruiting class the other day, the 2017 class, and I realized a ton of guys from that class are already making huge contributions. Like, it was a pretty it was kind of a smaller class, like I think maybe 18 commitments scholarship-wise, but you had you have, you know, Fayon Hicks and Madison Cohn, you have Jake Ferguson. There's a lot more. I could list a lot, but did you kind of think that your class could have this big of an impact coming in? I mean, I know everybody probably likes their class coming in, but did you feel like you know, when you came in with these guys, like, you thought you could kind of do something special with these people?
You know, coming in, a lot of our class, especially when we were freshmen, and, you know, they kept us together a lot when we first got up here. You know, we were all talking about, we just wanted to be ready, so we were all talking about how we wanted to learn as much as possible because, you know, we knew the players that were on the team. We knew that they were great players, so we knew it would be difficult, you know, to get on the field. We knew it wouldn't be easy. We'd have to work our tails off, so we just decided to band together and say, you know, we're going to do everything in our power to learn as much as we can, whether it was offense or defense, whatever side they were on, to try to get on the field and, you know, make a contribution to the team.
Yeah, did you feel like a lot of those guys, that was kind of the thinking between you guys when you were together at the beginning, like, we, you know, we're just going to try to play as early as we can?
Yeah, I think the players here actually kind of helped us out because, you know, they were such great players. So, you know, in our minds, we're thinking those guys have been in the system, offense and defense. They know the ins and outs, and they're putting up great numbers. So it's going to be up to us in order to learn everything we can, so that when we are put in and practice for the game, that we're able to contribute and do our job well, and, you know, earn the trust of the coaches.
It seems like, I guess shifting gears here to, you know, obviously you came in the season as a Heisman candidate. Obviously you're still getting some buzz there, but I don't think you're considered one of the favorites. But it seems like sometimes that award kind of just starts going to, you know, the best player on the best team type of thing. But do you feel like, even though you guys haven't had the season as a team that you'd like, you feel like you should be getting maybe a little bit more attention for that, you know, the leading the nation in rushing on pace for over 2,000 yards?
Yeah, right now, you know, you just really want to win. Like you say, you know, the best player on the best team, and I feel like that's what makes some players the best, is doing whatever they can to help their team win. So I feel like right now it's just number one priority is help the team win. You know, obviously coming off the season we had last year, the guys been here, you know what it takes to win, and, you know, some of the younger guys that are coming in, you know, so it's just on us older guys to, you know, show the younger guys what it takes to win. So I feel like that's the biggest thing, is just trying to win games.
I know in the offseason you were really trying to work on sort of being able to go out in those third down situations, passing down situations, and do a little more in that area. It hasn't really kind of panned out for you in that regard, I don't feel like. What do you feel like you kind of need to do to kind of keep improving and in that area and be able to play a little bit more on third down, especially when, I know you're probably not thinking about this yet, but, you know, when the NFL comes calling, like, they're probably going to want you to do a lot of those things as well.
I feel like, you know, just making more plays in practice. I mean, You know, if you see some plays Ryan Connolly makes, you know, shooting gaps, making plays in the backfield, he does it all the time at practice. So I feel like, you know, making those plays at practice consistently transfers over into the game, and you're able to make those plays consistently when it's game time, when it really counts.
Do you feel like you what do you think you need to work on the most? Like, is it your hands? Is it your pass protection? Like, what do you feel like is kind of the main thing you need to get better at?
Definitely, you know, pass protection, making sure, you know, before you get out into your route, protection is always first. So that's one of the biggest things is making sure that, you know, your guy's not coming. You make sure checking everything's okay and then get out into your route. So Coach Sett always talks about that and making sure, you know, protection first, route second.
All right. Thanks, Jonathan.
Thank you very much.
That's going to do it for this week. A big thanks to Jake and Jonathan for coming on. If you haven't yet, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Google Play and visit madison.com for all of your Badgers football news. Thanks for listening.